the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him, and everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then fail to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is resorting to Ahlul Bayt.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Today, Sunday, is the 9th of Zilqada, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of the month of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As the next episode of today's special, we'll listen to Chapter 5, Verse 55, of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innama waliyukumullahu wa rasuluhu walladhina amanu alladhina yuqimuna as-salata wa yu'tuna az-zakata wa hum raki'un.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore his messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Islam is the religion of both association and disassociation, that is, attraction and repulsion, or polarization. In the previous verses, the Jews and the Christians were prohibited to be chosen as masters. Here in this verse, the commandment is that we take and follow Allah, the Almighty, the Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, and Imam Ali, alayhi salam, as our masters. The essence of mastership of Allah, the Messenger, and Hazrat Ali is the same, and it is essentially one in nature as well as in effect.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Now, why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? Imam literally means leader. An imam is a person followed by others. In theological terms, there are different definitions for who the imam is. Sunnis believe that imamate is a universal leadership that is responsible for encountering the people to preserve both their worldly and otherworldly benefits and to refrain from what is to their loss and harm. But according to the Shia school of thought, imamate is a general and universal leadership regarding the people's worldly and otherworldly affairs. As a succession to the Prophet, the meaning and concept of ismah or infallibility literally means to protect and block something, and in the theology refers to an inner state of the individual that not only doesn't allow one to commit a sin and disobey divine orders, but also blocks him or her from even being subject to error. To put it another way, the infallible is one who never accidentally nor purposely disobey a religiously obligatory act, although he or she has the power and choice to.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to discuss some important aspects of seeking support of the infallible imams. One of the important aspects or important outcomes of Shi'i religious culture is that in it we find the text of Ziyarat-e Jami'e Kabire. This Ziyarat text has been worded and phrased at the level of people's understanding. I mean, let me make an analogy in this regard. For example, imagine that you attended the lessons and lectures of a very high-ranking mathematician, and you know that this mathematician is really very knowledgeable, a very prodigious scholar in his own field and expertise. Yet, when it comes to him to teach you mathematics, he lowers the academic level of his discussions, to the level of your understanding. Okay, it mustn't be interpreted that, I mean, the scholarly background or, for example, a scholarly value of this high-ranking mathematician is so low. No, in fact, never. In fact, he has lowered the knowledge content of his discussions to such a way that we understand it. I believe that the praiseworthy aspects of the infallible imams are so high. However, the 10th infallible Imam Ali al-Hadi alayhi salam has produced a text at the level of our understanding. Yet, I believe that, I mean, it's still above our head. In it, we find that the phrase kahful wara is expressed in praise of the infallible Imams. In the Arabic language, there are various words and lexical items that refer to cave. Kahf in Arabic is the equivalent of cave in English. Yet, when a cave is capacious of receiving many things or many people, I mean it's like a room, for example, it's called a cave, a kahf. And however, kaf isn't applied. The word kaf isn't applied to a very narrow pass within a mountain. Rather, when the whole place in a mountain isn't that much capacious to receive, for example, too many people, to accommodate too many people. It's called ghar, and ghar is also, in English, it's also called cave. But in Arabic, there are various lexical items, various designations, or various terminologies. Wara in Arabic means people, creature, the creatures, the people created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we find that when the infallible imams are analogized to kahful bara, it means, a very capacious cave, a very capacious and well-supported cave in which many people, or as many people as possible, may take refuge. Okay, it indicates that the infallible imams and the teachings are very important in the sense that even if all people take refuge in the teachings and under the umbrella of the infallible imams, all of them may be well accommodated.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun
You're listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to listen to a short part about tawassul. What is tawassul? Resorting to intermediary. If one calls Prophet Muhammad or Imam Ali for help, he is in fact calling Allah for help through intermediary of the Prophet or the Imams. And he does that with the understanding that the Prophet or the Imams does not have any independent power, but rather what they have, which many others lack, is that they have credit in front of Allah. And that Allah does not put down their requests if they pray to Allah on my behalf. Imam Ali, Imam Reza, and all the martyrs are alive, as Quran clearly testifies. though they are not on earth. So please do not treat them as dead. Allah states in Quran, in chapter 3, verse 169, think not of those who are martyred in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are living, finding their sustenance in the presence of their Lord.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to today's special. Morality of Imam Aliyeb Musa Reza is the topic we're going to speak about. A letter to his son. Bazanti has reported, I read a letter written by Imam Reza to his son Imam Jawad with the following content. O Abu Jafar, I was informed that they will take you out through the small gate, which indicates their envy lest you might help people. I ask you through the right I have on you to go and come through the big gate. When you mount, make sure to have dirhams and dinars with you. Give away whenever someone asks you for help. Do not give away less than 50 dinars. Should your aunts ask you for something, do not give away less than 25 dinars. I wish that Allah will exalt you. Therefore, give away and be not afraid of indigence.
These 12 shining stars come from the family and the progeny of God's greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. If we want to achieve salvation and success, we have to develop a strong relationship with our imams. They are our leaders. Allah has blessed us with these amazing leaders. Our youngsters, our families must live with the spirit of the imams, the teachings of the imams, the lessons that we have from the imams. I'll be very honest with you. Unfortunately, in many of our communities and families, you find our kids, mashallah, when it comes to entertainment, sports, they have excellent memory. They can tell you about the lives of 50 or 100 sports actors or actors in Hollywood. They know their history. They know the sports actor, how many, you know, scores he made in the past. And they can go on for hours and hours knowing about these figures. But when it comes to our 12 Imams of Ahlul Bayt, we really don't know much about them. Especially the later Imams, Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam, Al-Imam Al-Hadi, Al-Imam Al-Askari. Rarely do we know anything about them. And this is a tragedy, because Allah has blessed us with these shining stars, so we benefit from them. The more we know about these imams, the more successful we become. The imam teach us how to be successful, how to be hardworking, how to be sincere, how to prepare for your akhirah.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.
And with this nice and interesting story, we finish this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us till this time. And till another greetings, we bid you goodbye. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami.
علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. For your information, when a person asks Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, as to who are the best servants of God, the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir replied, those persons who, when they perform a good deed, become glad. When they commit a bad deed, they ask the forgiveness of Allah. When they are granted, they thank for it. When they are afflicted and grieved, they exercise patience. And when they get angry, they forgive the faults of others.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim. a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we've said many times before, that there are many qualities or attributes that have been mentioned in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, both good and bad. Obviously, it is up to us to attain or retain the good and to kind of push away or to block those bad and evil traits from entering into our hearts. But those traits and attributes that we have or that we claim to have, they have signs. You know, it is not like, oh, a person can just, I am, for example, a believer, or I am trustworthy, or I am, for example, you know, a pious person. There are certain signs, there are certain, you know, things that allude and indicate that this person is that. And alhamdulillah, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have also expanded on this. So when it comes to the believers or the mu'mineen, there are certain signs, and these signs have been mentioned in various different traditions. So one of those signs that is mentioned in the traditions, in this tradition, especially from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet says that the believer is he whom people trust with their blood. That this individual, you know, is somebody who I can put my life. Even if I've done something bad to him, but if I come to him at a particular time when I'm in need, I need to be saved, you know, this individual will assist me. This is a true mu'min. One of the best examples of this we see is at the Battle of Harra, when the governor of the time, Al-Marwan, who goes to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and asks, that, you know, please protect me. I need, or not protect me, at least protect my family. And Imam gives him refuge, even though that, you know, what he did at the Battle of Karbala and so on, and his part that he played in it, the Imam, you know, gave him refuge. This is the sign of a true mu'min and a true believer. And the second sign in this tradition that the Holy Prophet mentions is that a person who is a believer, or he is known as a believer, people can trust every single aspect of their property with him. That they know for sure that this person will never be treacherous. This person will never steal from them. This person will never cheat them. This person will never lie to them. These are two signs of a mu'min, of a true believer. That one, people feel safe. That this person, if I ask for protection, I can, you know, put my life in this person's hand and he will try his utmost to protect me. Or if I give him something of my wealth, of my property, there's no way that I will not get it back. Or he will cheat me or lie to me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become of the true mu'mineen and the true believers. You know, show these signs. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتب
رتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 23 and 24 of Surah Ar-Rum, recited by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, preceded by its English translation. Dear audience, let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And among his signs is the sleep that you take by night and by day, and the seeking of his bounty. Verily in that are indeed signs for a people who listen. And among his signs is that he shows you the lightning by way of fear and hope, and he sends down water from the sky and therewith revives the earth after its death. Verily in that are indeed signs for a people who understand.
ومن آياته يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينزل من السماء صدق الله العظيم.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You just listened to verses 23 and 24 of Surah Ar-Rum, recited by the Egyptian reciter Sheikh Hamdi Zamel. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, in these two verses of Surah Ar-Rum by Sheikh Hamdi Zamel, we had the riwayah of Warsh an-Nafi'. وَمِنَايَاتِهِ وَمِنَايَاتِهِ. He doesn't say وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنَايَاتِهِ. Not just the نَبْ, it's the نَقْلَ. And there are some other rules of Warsh, but let's talk about the shared rules between Warsh and Hafs, because there are many.
Good idea.
Okay, for example, we have إِخْفَى of Mim Sakina. إِخْفَى of Mim Sakina can only take place whenever there is the letter ba after Mim Sakina. So we only have one letter for إِخْفَى of Mim Sakina, which is ba.
Can this occur within a word?
Yes. Well, no. It can only occur within a phrase, not a word.
Uh-huh.
I just thought about it. No, just within a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
This is for إِخْفَى of Mim Sakina. So, what do you do? For إِخْفَى of Mim Sakina, you should not close the mouth completely while pronouncing the meme. The mouth is slightly open. And at the same time, we have to make nasal sound for two vowel counts. To demonstrate, مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ See, the mouth, you could hear that there is some space between the lips.
The sound of m is not completely nasal.
Yes, the sound is oronasal.
Yes.
It's through the nose and the mouth. مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. And the space between the lips has to be as much. Remember we said a thin sheet of paper
to
fitting
fit
in between
the, lips.
The
yeah.
lips. But not literally. This is just to get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
وَالنَّهَارِ. We have a ra with tarqiqa.
Because it has
thinness.
A kasra.
Yeah, because of the kasra. وَالنَّهَارِ. Ri. We don't say ray. Ray. Ri. Okay, so make sure you pronounce the ra with tarqiq.
Or the empty mouth, right?
No, thinness. And empty, yeah. Of course, the mouth is going to be empty. Another important rule, we have mad. Madul muttasil. وَبِتِغَاءُكُمْ.
Conjunct, man.
This is a conjunct lengthening. In Hafs, you have to lengthen it to either four or five vowel counts. But in Warsh, you have to lengthen it to six vowel counts.
That is the case here, actually.
Here. The reciter was reciting in Warsh. So you only have one choice for Warsh, which is six vowel counts. I want to talk about the next verse. We have two more matul muttasils in the next verse. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. So when does madul muttasil take place? It occurs whenever there's a long vowel followed by a hamza, hamzatul qata.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the same word. So the med and the hamza, they have to be in the same word.
Yes.
And the hamza has to be after the med. And as a result, we have madul muttasil, the conjunct lengthening, which has to be lengthened to either four or five vowel counts in hafs. And of course, you have to stick to your choice.
Yes.
If you want to lengthen it to four vowel counts, you should always lengthen it to four vowel counts.
But
and vice versa, and also for five vowel counts.
But I think in Warsh and Nafa Rawaya, it does not matter whether you know the mat is muttasil or munfasil.
Exactly. Both have to be lengthened to six vowel counts in the Warsh. Okay, another rule I want to talk about is we have it a lot in the Quran, which is ishba' of ha'ud damir. We have some ishba's in these two verses. ومن آياته the ha, even though originally it has a kasra, but it is not pronounced like a kasra. We double the sound of the kasra. We make it a long vowel.
And the reason?
The reason is that, first of all, it's a ha'ud dhamir. It's a conjunct ha'ud dhamir that comes at the end of a word. Pronoun, yes. The conjunct pronoun that comes at the end of a word.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and it has to be masculine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a normal ha. There's no alif. If there's an alif, it would be a female pronoun. Okay?
Yes.
So, if the ha'ud dhamir is preceded by a haraka, by a short vowel.
Short vowel.
Short vowel, not long vowel. Then ishba takes place. So here we see ayatihi.
That is kasra, actually.
Kasra of the ta, which is before the ha. We have another one, which is min fadlihi in verse 23. Of course, if you stop on the word, no ishba takes place.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
In our hadith, we have many, many teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about the Quran. Jabir narrates from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, يَجِيءُ الْقُرْآنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي أَحْسَنِ مَنْذُورٍ إِلَيْهِ. Imam said, on the day of judgment, the Quran will come in the best appearance, in the best, you know, face. مُؤْمَنِين will be said, اِقْرَأْ وَرْقَ. يَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ اِقْرَأْ وَرْقَ. فَيَقْرَأُ وَيَرْقَى. Read and rise. Read and rise. So everyone, depending on how much he can read at that time, will rise. But now the question is, how much can you read at that time? It's not something in your hand. It's something which is already decided by your relation in dunya with Quran. Okay? In dunya, if you were a person who was 100% following the Quran, so you can read the whole Quran, all the verses of the Quran, so you would reach the highest position. If you have been implementing, following 99%, 98%, 90%, 10%, anyway, depending on how much you have taken on board from the Quran, you would be able to read. Okay? So it's not something that you say, I will be doing my best, you know, to read as much as possible there. Even if you are a hafiz of Quran in dunya, it doesn't mean that there you can read all the Quran. Okay? So this is important.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay wa bi quwwatika allati qahart biha kulla shay wa khada' laha kullu shay.
اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. Oh Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything. وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء. And I ask you by your strength through which you dominate everything. In this second phrase of this dua, Allah's strength is talked about. His strength as His holy existence is infinite, and other abilities and strengths are insignificant before His strength. No power is independent from His power. No strength is independent from His strength, but is rather a ray of His power. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, we say. There is no power but Allah's. In the last section, the phrase كل شيء was briefly discussed, and it was concluded that كل شيء includes all the creatures and beings, all the creatures that have been created by the Almighty Allah's mercy, those creatures whose quality and quantity no one knows and will not know till the Day of Judgment. Who is aware of the exact number of the billions of heavenly galaxies, those plants, animals, birds, and beasts, reptiles of the earth and sea, and the countless viruses, microbes, and hidden beings, and the angels. The compassionate creator of the world, who has such unrelenting power over everything in the world, dominates everything, and nothing is out of his embracing strength and power. So we ask him and we say, وَبِقُوَّتِكَ الَّتِي قَهَرْتَ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and we ask you by your strength through which you dominate everything. So at first, we ask the Almighty Allah and we call Him by His encompassing mercy, and then we call Him by His domination, by His strength. This mentioning the mercy of the Almighty Allah and then His power respectively might lead us to infer that the Almighty Allah has the power to do anything, but His mercy precedes His power. His mercy precedes Him being the just ruler, the compassionate creator of the world, who has such power over everything in the world. He is the one who is dominating everything. Nothing is out of His embracing strength, although in the first step, nothing is out of His embracing mercy. He maintains the heavens. Not only that, but He maintains the heavens at their kernels. He is the one who is maintaining galaxies and the stars, the systems and the inhabitants of those systems, some of which weigh more than billions of tons, which have been floating in a certain orbit with a definite speed for billions of years, and He is the one who keeps them from falling down.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful,
Allah bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything and which submits to it everything and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. Oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy, oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy.
So the servant, by calling his Lord the All-Compassionate, by calling his Lord the one who has encompassing mercy, by the one whose mercy has enveloped everything, and by believing in this fact that his creator is the dominant over everything, in the next phrase start to say وَخَضَعَ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ, and by your strength toward which everything is humble. So talking about the strength of the Almighty Allah is not yet over. Everything in this world, from the hidden to visible beings, from the largest to the smallest creatures, from the most extensive galaxies and the stars and planets, to the tiniest atoms that are not observable with scientific tools, they are all inferior before Almighty Allah. Everything is controlled by his rule and has surrendered to his wise authority, ready to be obedient to him. All the creatures are unexceptionally submitted to Almighty Allah's immeasurable strength. We will, inshallah, talk about these phrases more in the next program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Insightful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining me again on today's episode of The Lantern. One of the instances that we have to definitely learn from the ethics and the akhlaq of the noble messenger of Allah is in regard with his treatment of the elderly. Now, at a certain point, Rasulullah turned into